right, go ahead and grab out your Bible and something to take some notes with. We are in a series called Through the Crowd. I love this. We do this usually about once a year, looking at the different people and miracles that Jesus did. And the whole idea behind the series is that Jesus was always surrounded by crowds of people. You read it in the gospel, Jesus was always surrounded. Like crowds were thronging around him. Crowds were running along the seashore to get to him. Crowds were like climbing into the house. Crowds were everywhere around Jesus. And while he was surrounded by crowds of people, he never lost sight of the people. Like he never lost sight of the individual. He always saw the one in need. He always answered the one that was hurting. He always blessed and healed and reached and taught. He always was the one who would do. And so I want to look at one of those stories today. So Book of Luke today, if you got your Bibles, you can turn there. Of course, we'll have it up on the screen as well. We are a Bible-believing, Bible-loving, Bible-like reading, like it guides our life type of church. Amen, everybody? And so if you want to flip over to Luke, it goes Genesis, Exodus, Luke. And so you can find that today. Not exactly that order. You get the idea. It's a miracle maybe you've heard before, or maybe you've lumped it into all the other ones that sound like it. But I want to focus on this guy today, the one that Jesus sees through the crowd. And so verse 12, we'll start there. It says, when Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. And we'll see as we study this disease today, as we study leprosy, you'll notice this is like all over his body. And so he's dealt with this for a long time. This is something covering him. And when he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground. And watch this. And he begged him, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Lord, if you're willing. And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched the man. I'm willing, he said, be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him. Aren't you glad we still serve a Jesus who's willing to do miracles in our life? I'm thankful that we serve a God who's willing to, like he wants to do a miracle. He wants to cleanse. He says, be clean. Immediately the leprosy left him. And Jesus ordered him, don't tell anybody, which is just, it's like the joke in the Gospels. Anytime Jesus says this, they go and tell him like 10 times more. I love it. He's like, don't tell anybody, but go and show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to him. Yet the news about him, here's the joke, it would spread all the more. So the crowds of people came to hear him. Here's the crowds. And to be healed of their sicknesses. And then verse 16, I left it in here because it doesn't seem like it should have anything to do with the story. But this is such a life verse to me. Watch this. It says, but Jesus, like there's stuff to happen. There's stuff that needs to go on. He's doing ministry. He's healing. He's teaching. Like there's people that need to be reached. And it's like, and it just throws us in there. It's like all these things that have to happen. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Like Jesus often would, don't ever tell me you're too busy to pray. If you're too busy to pray, you're too busy. Come on, somebody. Like you just, Jesus had so many things that needed to happen. So much momentum he was gaining. So many chances for popularity and like impact and all these things. And yet when those opportunities came, Jesus always withdrew and prayed. All right, it's the miracle, though, that he does that I want to look at today. And it's probably the heading in your Bible. I don't know what it calls it in your Bible, but it's the cleansing of the leper. The cleansing of the leper. And so some of you are sitting back and you hear this. I've started the story. You kind of know where today is going and you're like, phew, finally something that doesn't have to do with me. Like, I've been convicted the last 5 weeks, Ben. You were gone. They convicted me. My heart is good. Like, finally, you're preaching something that I don't need because I don't have leprosy. And so I don't need to be cleansed. I'll check back in next week. Like, I don't need. So let me just give you a few examples, or let me just give you an idea of why you may be needing to be cleansed from this thing called leprosy today. Now, when you think of leprosy, you think of the disease that's out there. And I'm pretty sure every single person here watching online, you're probably not in a room where there is leprosy. We have pretty much eradicated it out of the United States. There's probably, I think they say 150 cases to 200 a year of leprosy still in the States. So you're probably not around you right now. But leprosy, just to give you a little bit of background, you read the Old Testament, it's showing up everywhere, especially in the book of Leviticus. You read the Old Testament, like you see how they were very weird about this thing called leprosy. Like you were ostracized, kicked out of the camp. It's one of those weird diseases. And leprosy, though, in the Old Testament, 3,000 plus years ago, is not the leprosy of today. Like not the sickness or the disease that we think about of today. In fact, what they would do is they would kind of group any kind of skin disease or skin condition into this one big bucket called leprosy. And so it's kind of a catch-all term. So whether it was skin cancer or boils or actual leprosy, everything would get kind of put in this pile. And then they'd have all of these rituals and cleansing and all these things they would try to do, these oils to rub, and they'd try to do to cleanse you. And none of it worked. Like they try to do these things to try to get rid. It was a horrific thing to be labeled as a leper. Now that changes in Jesus's time, in that in Jesus's time, when we hear about leprosy or you read it in the Bible, this would have been the disease that we know of today. And so you can kind of tell the difference. So he's dealing with leprosy that he's dealing with is the issue that's in the world. So very little in America, but there are still 2 to 3 million people in the world that have leprosy. Most of them are in India. And I've had a chance to lead teams from the church to the colonies, to the leper-afflicted communities. We're able to minister to these people, to wrap bandages, to see them in their plight, to help them in what they're doing. And so I want to, it's a horrific disease. I want to kind of break down today what it looks like. Because as a church, we support a missionary named Michael DaCosta. He lives in Karnataka, India, and ministers to the leper-infected people. And he's able to minister to them with his family. It's a beautiful chance they have. Because you're probably sitting there thinking, okay, we support it as a church. I'm glad we minister to them. But what does that have to do with me? Like, do you want me to give them money today? Am I allowed to listen to me? Nothing about that today. What I want you to understand, and I want you to get this, and you can jot down if you're taking notes, or you can just internalize it, is that leprosy in the Bible is always used as a symbol for our sinful nature. And so Jesus cleansing the leper, yeah, it's an incredible miracle. It's an amazing thing that Jesus does. But deeper than that, I want you to understand today, when we see leprosy, it's a symbol of our sinful nature. Because cleansing leprosy, that guy, that leper, it was cleansed for that day, but he still died at the end of his life. How many know that's true? Every person Jesus ever healed still died at the end of their life. Even Lazarus brought back to death still died again. But when we look at leprosy as a symbol of our sinful nature, that cleansing is what's eternal. That's the cleansing I want to talk about today. See, because I have met people with extreme leprosy in the physical. And their skin wasted away and the digits are gone and the nose is... I've seen people in the extreme, beautiful sons and daughters of God who are incredible followers of Christ. Some of the most incredible followers of Jesus in the world today. And I have met people who have skin that is clear and smooth and clean, and yet their heart is eaten by the internal sin. So I want to talk to you a little bit today about what it means to be cleansed. So you thought you were off the hook because you don't have leprosy. Reality is we all have that sinful nature. All of us have those addictions and all of us have those tendencies. All of us have those urgings, those sinfulness inside of us. I don't care how long you have been saved, you got issues. Come on, somebody. And honestly, those who have been saved a really long time, you know that more than anybody else. I don't care how long you've been going at this thing. We still got issues to deal with in our lives. In fact, I was reminded of a story a little earlier this year. I was with a group of people and they're just talking a thing. And as soon as they started talking about somebody else, and they started talking about somebody that wasn't in the room. And so it was gossip. Come on, somebody. First thing that came to my mind was, I have got a story. I've got a really good story. You ever been in this place? Like you hear him talk, yeah, you're like, I've got something to add. I've got a really good story. And instantly in my mind, the war starts, right? And we talked about this last week during traffic, like those things that sit on your shoulders and start to talk about like the good and the bad. Like the war starts inside of me. As soon as I thought about that, I was like, I have got, and it was gossip and it was wrong. And I was like, but I've got a really good one to tell. And I know they're not here, but it's really good. And so the voices start talking, and it's like, Ben, wait a minute. Don't you open your mouth. Don't you say it. Don't you open your mouth. And then another is like, but you get a, Ben, listen to me, but you get a lot of really good laughs. And I'm like, you're right, I will get a lot of good laughs. And the other side, but you're a pastor, and what do they think? I'm like, yeah, I know that, but they're on this side. They're like, but they'll think you're important. I'm like, yeah, the war starts out. It's like, don't you say it, don't you say it. And you know what I did? I said it. And don't you judge me, because all of you do it too. What do we do with those tendencies? This is my confession. Good for the heart, bad for the reputation. Because listen to me, what do we do with those tendencies? What do we do with those urges, those things that we want to do, those attitudes, unwanted sin inside of us? Because when we see this story of cleanse, Jesus cleansing the leper, I think it's actually all of us that need to be cleansed. So I'm going to give you 4 connections today. You can jot them down. If you have the app open, it'll be a lot easier to fill in because I'm going to go through these pretty quick. But if you're jotting down, you're fast enough, you go ahead and do that pretty quickly. 4 connections between leprosy and sin I want you to see today. As I want you to understand that it's great Jesus cleansed the leper, but more important than any of that is that Jesus cleanses us of our sins. So first connection, first thing I think it'll help you. Number 1 is leprosy and sin are both internal problems. They're both internal issues. Now, when you think of leprosy, you think of people who have like fingers falling off and their noses or their extremities are being affected. But leprosy is not actually a skin disease. Leprosy is actually a bacteria that's deep inside of the person. It's actually deep. It's a bacteria that comes into the body and then eventually it's in there for a while before it ever makes its way to the surface. In fact, the way that leprosy often deforms or harms the surface is that all it does is it kills the nerves where there's no feeling anymore. I've talked with Michael at length at this about some of the lepers that he ministers to and does. And he says what it does, it'll kill the nerves so they don't even feel what they're doing. And so they'll use their hands to take a hot pot off the stove or they'll stick them in a fire or they'll do things that they normally wouldn't do because of what's happening on the inside. That'll preach all by itself. The same thing is true with sin. What I want you to get this is what's inside that corrupts the body. Too often times we look at the symptoms or we look at what happens on the outside and we think, well, that's what the sin, that's what's actually destroying. No. It's what's on the inside that's doing. Jesus said it this way. Watch this. For out of the heart come evil thoughts. And so you're like, I don't know where. It's always my favorite thing when I'm ever around somebody that like either they like say a curse word and then like look at their pastor and like, oh, I didn't know what that's like. It's always funny to me. That's just one of my funniest. That's just humor to myself. But it's always the phrase I always hear is, Pastor, I don't even know where that came from. I know exactly where that came from. Come on, somebody. Jesus told us where that. And it's okay because we all have these issues. But he says, for out of the heart come evil thoughts. And then watch, here's all the sins. Murder and adultery and sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. We're looking at the extremities. We're looking at the symptoms. But Jesus is saying, no. Where did it come from? It came out of your heart. Sin and leprosy, it's always an internal issue before we ever see the symptoms on the outside. Came from the heart. Those are the sins. And you go, well, where did the external? No, Jesus is saying that's what defiles a person. You have these moments where you're dealing with the symptoms. It's not the symptoms, it's the heart. It's the why. James said it this way, the temptations each person is tempted by, dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. It's like you're in an argument with your spouse. Come on, none of you ever get in arguments with your spouse, but let's just say for hypothetical today, you were in an argument. It's like that moment where you're like, well, I'm not going to say what I really want to say. And you've already had like knockdown, drag out. You have said almost everything possible. But you're like, I'm not going to say what I want. You ought to just go ahead and say it because that's what your heart is anyway. This is not marriage counseling, by the way. This is just me expressing. It's what's in your heart anyway. It's what's in the thing. It's James is saying it's inside of you that drags us away. It gives birth to sinful action. It starts with a desire. It builds into action. And when that sin is grown, what happens? It eventually results in death. So that sin is on the inside and it's killing off those nerves. Eventually it's killing off. You don't even see the progression. And all you see are the symptoms at the end that it starts inside. It's why following Jesus is so different, by the way. I don't think I put this in your notes, but it's why following Jesus, listen to me. Following Jesus is not about modifying your behavior. If it was, we'd take you through like a 25 step and we don't even need Jesus. We'll just modify your behavior. It's not about behavior modification. It's about transforming your life. Because listen to me, it's not about the symptoms. It's not about the actions. Those all come later. Lord, change what's inside of me. Change my heart. And then he'll change all the stuff out here. It's about what's on the inside. So they're both internal issues. Number two, write it down, is leprosy and sin can only stay hidden for a season. It's only invisible for a season. You can have leprosy wrecking the inside of your body for up to 3 years before it ever shows on the outside. So you got people walking around infected that they were walking and transmitting, not knowing that they were even sick or maybe feeling like, I feel a little bit sick, but I'm not really sure. It hadn't shown yet. And I want you to understand the same thing is true when it comes to sin. It's only a matter of time before that internal sin begins to show in an external way. You think you're hiding it. And I love you. Listen to me. This is like last week. I'm just beeping the horn a little bit behind you. I love you. I realize the last thing in the world you want to hear is an entire sermon on sin, but I am sick of this wrecking people's lives and nobody warning them about it. I'm not here to entertain you. I'm here to be your pastor. And so listen to me. Too often times we think it's an internal thing. We think we have it hidden. We think it'll never affect my life. But it can only stay invisible for a season. And I want you to hear this because there are hidden things, hidden attitudes, hidden actions. Those hidden things you're looking at on your phone. You're like, nobody knows. Nobody knows what's happening. Nobody knows. It's just something I've got hidden inside. It's just that eventually it will come out. Eventually. And when it does, listen to me, suddenly it wrecks your reputation. It wrecks your legacy. It wrecks the family. It wrecks all of these things. Listen to me. Deal with it while it's still internal. Deal with it while it's still in you. Because listen, you think, well, I've got it hidden and nobody knows. Eventually it will come out. Jesus said it this way. I read verse 19. This is verse 18. It said, what comes out of a person's mouth comes from the heart. And these are the things that defile them. They come, they're not random. Like they're not like just like you just thought them up one day. They're coming out of the heart. It's what defiles you. Let me tell you this way. You will always be as sick as your secrets. You will always be. And so you need, if you're going to do all that God has for you to do, if you're going to step into the purpose he has for you, you got to get rid of these internal things. The sin that you think is internal, that's hidden, you got to get it out of your life. Now listen, that doesn't mean you tell everybody. All right. Some of you tell everybody everything. That's a whole nother issue. You don't go around telling everybody. You don't air your dirty laundry every day. It's not like Sunday morning, greet somebody and you're like, brother, I've got a list of my sins. That's not the time or the place. You don't tell it. Not everybody needs to know your issues, but somebody should. Not everybody needs to know everything you're struggling with, but somebody should. You got to have a place. Somebody could. I'm telling you, let the Lord deal with it, that he knows, because they got to get that thing removed. Because listen, there are only two options for you. Either you reveal it or the Holy Spirit will reveal it. And I promise you, I would much rather I reveal it, because I can do it in my timeline and start to repent and say, Lord, what's next? I would much rather that, because when the Holy Spirit reveals it, when it makes its way to the surface, the enemy's got you. When it starts to show, let me tell you, hidden things that eventually will show up. Number three, jot it down. Leprosy and sin sever relationships. You think about this in the Old Testament. Reality is when you had any kind of skin disease, they would toss you out of the camp. They just like group it. It didn't matter. Like you had really bad acne. They just like, get out quick. Get them out of the camp. They throw them out of the thing. Now you can imagine, this is like the OG quarantine. Come on, somebody. They're just like instantly, like they're just out. Like, I don't care what it is. You got the sniffles. You got the thing. You're out. Like anything showing up, anything like that. I'm telling you, we ostracize based off of the issue. Let me tell you what happens when it comes to sin. Because leprosy is this infectious disease that would spread to people. They'd be like, get as far away as possible. You have to wear special clothes. Every room you go in, you have to cry out, unclean, unclean, so people knew to run away from you. Would sever relationships. It's the same with sin. Sin separates our relationship. First and foremost, sin separates your relationship with God. Watch this in Isaiah chapter 3. Watch what it says. But your iniquities have separated you from God. Your sin has separated. Your sins have hidden his face so he doesn't even hear. You're like, why can't I get close to God? Why is this like there's sin in your life that separates you from God? The reality is it separates not just from God, it also separates us from each other. Like it'll destroy your marriage. It will destroy your friendships, your relationships. It'll destroy the ministry you thought you had. It will destroy all of these things. The unity, everything else is sin. It wrecks our relationships. I think too often we have veered the pendulum swing. We have swung toward theoretical effects of sin. We're like, yeah, I know it's a blemish on my soul and I know I need to repent. And we forget the practical effects that greed and that attitude and those words you're saying and the way you treat people is destroying. I'm not talking theoretical. Practically in your life is destroying your relationships. That sin is destroying those simple things that we deal with. Sin separates relationships. And then number four, leprosy and sin are incurable without intervention. You want to see the connection between, you got to think for thousands of years, leprosy spread and there was no cure. They'd be like, let's rub some oil on it and try to fix it. Let's try to put you out of the camp and see if it just goes away. Let's see what, for thousands of years, it just kept killing people until finally in 1940, like less than 100 years ago, somebody's like, let's see if an antibiotic's going to deal with this thing. Let's just see if we can cure this thing. Finally, somebody came up with a solution. And finally, after thousands of years of this thing killing people, they're like, maybe this will work. Well, you know, the same thing is true for sin. Thousands of years, it was the blood of bulls and goats that they thought, let's just see if we can cover over it. Let's just see if we can run. And for every year, they would bring the blood of the bull, the blood of the goats, and they would barely manage to like cover over the sin for that year or the sin of that week. How many know I'm grateful that 2,000 years ago, finally a solution was given, and his name is Jesus Christ. That finally a ultimate solution was given. That forever they would say, let's just see if we could just put the blood, the bulls and the goats. But no, when the blood of Jesus came, when sin was wrecking our life. The Bible says in Romans, it says at the right moment, Jesus was born. At the right, when sin was wrecking our lives, when it was messing, when it was killing and destroying and running rampant and there was no cure. The Bible says at the right moment, Jesus was born. That's the beautiful message of the gospel, that Jesus came when we were sick, when we were messed up, when that internal thing was destroying our lives. At the right moment, Jesus came. It's why Romans says it this way in chapter 3. It says, rather, you watch this. In Romans chapter 3, in the next one, it says, no one declared righteous in God's sight by the works of the law. Rather, through the law, we weren't cured. We just became conscious of our sins. It wasn't the cure. We just became conscious. No, Jesus' sacrifice on the cross is what conquered sin once and for all. That's the cure. That's the news of the gospel. That sin is not conquerable without intervention. It's amazing. 1940, it's an amazing breakthrough. It's an amazing thing. But I promise you, every person cured of leprosy still died. But listen, those who are cured and cleansed of their sin, Jesus said that their names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that Jesus came to give us life forevermore, that it's eternity wrapped up in it. So I want you to see this, that cleansing of our sins, so much greater than any cleansing of leprosy, Jesus conquered what nobody else could conquer. So we're going to see it in our story. I want to break it down very quickly. Back to verse 12, he says, in one of the towns, a man came along covered in leprosy, something he's dealt with all of his life, something that's wrecked his life. And watch this, when he saw Jesus, he made a decision. So listen, I don't know what you dragged in here with you today. I don't know what chain is on your heart. I don't know what sin is killing you from the inside out. I don't know what secrets you have. But listen to me, when you see Jesus, when Jesus is available for your life, you get to make a decision. This guy makes a decision in this moment. When he saw Jesus, when he heard about Jesus, when he thought, he makes a decision in this moment that's going to change his life. I promise you, when you are in a meeting like this, or you are watching online 5 years from now, and you are deciding, you have a decision to make. Are you going to live in your sin? Are you going to drag that chain around you for the rest of your life? When you hear about Jesus, when you hear that he's available for your life, you make a decision in this moment. I cannot make it for you. Grandma praying for you cannot make it for you. You make a decision in this moment. And this guy, he sees Jesus, and it says he makes a decision. He falls with his face to the ground, and he begged him. He sees Jesus. He knows what's happening in his life, and he falls, and he begs him, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. If you're willing. I'm telling you, I don't know what you have tried to get your life clean. I don't know what you've done. I promise you it didn't work. I don't know what you have tried to make yourself, but Jesus is willing, and he can make you clean. He's willing and he can. This man knew something, that at the end of yourself, when nothing else is working, it's not like he just like sauntered up to Jesus like, hey, in pride and arrogance and be like, hey, give me my miracle. No, he knew, hey, there's something wrong with me. There's something that I can't do on my own. It says with his face to the ground, he comes up. And listen, when you are at the end of yourself, you don't like just saunter up to God like, hey, give me that. No. You understand. No pride, nothing in this. In humility, with your face to the ground, you come up like, Lord, I have screwed it up. Like, I made the mistake. I did the thing. I held it hidden, and it's my fault. And you go to God before that with humility. I lay myself down. This is where faith really starts. Jot it down if you're taking notes. Faith starts, and it grows. It increases with humility. You want actual faith. It starts and increases. It says, I'm going to lay myself down. I'm going to say, I'm not enough. I'm going to humble myself because I need you. Because you're getting ready. You either humble yourself, or you will be humbled. Like, we either humble ourselves or eventually, and you're like, no, I got this thing together. I'm fine. I'm going along my way. Listen, eventually you're going to get humbled. And I would much rather start from a place of humility. I don't know about you. I'd much rather. That's why the Bible says if we confess our sins, and you're like, I don't want to confess. I don't want to confess my sin. Well, that's humility. You're not humble yet. It says if we confess our sins, it takes humility. He's faithful and just. And you know what he's going to do? He'll forgive us of our sins. And here's the word, watch this. Here's our word of the day. It says, and then purify us, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It says he'll purify us. So we all want to be cleansed. We want this stuff out of our life. It starts with humility. I tell you, you live a life of, you say, God, I humble myself before you. And then listen to me, let me just give you some advice, Christians. Like, let's say you go in and you humble yourself. God, I give myself, I surrender, I humble myself before you. And then like a week later, you get in a bind. You know what you do? You humble yourself again. Like, it's a process of humbling every day that we go before God. It's why I've got to spend time with him every single day of my life, because I'm recognizing I am not enough. Not strong enough, not holy enough. Heaven knows I'm not spiritual enough. I got to spend time in humility saying, God, I'm not enough. I need you. I need you to purify, to cleanse me. I didn't put it in your notes. I should have. I heard a pastor one time say that a man on his face can't fall far from there. You run with that for a week. Come on, somebody. You run humility. That says, God, I'm not enough. This man humbled on his face saying, God, I need you. And Jesus, watch this. Jesus stretches out his hand and touched him. This goes against everything the Old Testament taught about this. You don't touch what's unclean. You don't touch the leper. You don't touch the unclean thing, because then you'll be made unclean. You'll be dirty. You don't touch this thing. But Jesus knew the power inside of him was greater than anything in this world. He knew he was the answer and the solution. He knew exactly who he was. He knew exactly what he was doing. He reached out his hand. He touches him. And they say, he touches. Listen to me. When Jesus touches your life, things change. When Jesus touches your life, things change. Now, we want a moment right there where he's like, be clean and everything's perfect. We're like, Lord, help me with my attitude. We're like, he cleansed a leper and leprosy was clean. Immediately he was healed. And so we're like, Lord, help me with my attitude. And Jesus touches that. And boom, I love people. No more people problems. I mean, that's not what happens. That's not the process he takes us through. Because we love this story, because we love this idea of, Lord, just do it. And so I was like, well, Lord, then why does this? Because I did a little research. I did my job. That's what I'm supposed to do, right? So I did a little research, this idea of we confess our sins, and then he purifies us. He cleanses us. And that word cleanse, you know what that word is? And I put it in your notes because I didn't want to try to pronounce it today. I would have butchered it altogether. That word actually means to purge, to scrub. Come on, somebody. And so, like, I come to the Lord, and I want to be clean, but I get saved, and I want to be clean. And I'm like, Lord, purify me. And he does. He forgives me of my sins. And he begins this process of cleansing me. And if you've been around church a long time, you know this process of sanctification. It's just a big word. I mean, God starts to purge some things out of your life. Starts to cleanse some things. Because I'm like, God, I want to be clean, but I'm not. I've still got issues. And so what's up with that? And so I looked up this word, be clean, and that actually means to purge, to scrub. So what does that mean? What does it mean, like, to purge and to scrub some things out of your life? So here's what we do. We can't do anything without an object, right? We want to remember some things. What does it mean for God? It means that when you come to God, you still got, like there are some issues every single one of you have in your life. And so I have recognized this in my life, and I just want to help you recognize it in yours today. So here's what I did. I went and found this towel, as clean as I could find. It's one of our baptism towels. Come on, somebody. And then I went and got some dirt from the palm tree of bitterness, you remember from a couple of months ago. And so I rubbed some of those in there. So some of you, you're like, I got some issues, but I'm going to hide them. But God's like, no, you can't leave those things internal. Actually, I have a process for you to go through. I'm going to make you, because you got all these issues. Because let's just be real with each other. When you come to God, listen, your spirit is righteous before God. Your spirit is righteous, but let's be real. You still got some issues in your flesh and your mind that you need to scrub out. Some of you, you need like a mind scrub. You just got to like get some scrubbing going on in your life. Get those things out of your life in those days. Some of you, it's like your attitude. You got to get some stuff worked out. How do you work it out? Jesus touched the leper. And so you're like, Lord, make me clean. And you're just expecting like the snap of the fingers. And every attitude and everything that you've held and all that flesh you spent 50 years ingraining inside of you, suddenly it's all gone. No, God's like, yeah, I'm going to take you through a process today. Because the reality is Jesus is going to work some things out of your life. Now, this is a washboard, in case you don't know what this is. Come on, somebody. And so I got this cheap off Amazon, but it's going to work for today. That's what's going to happen. Now, this is how they would clean clothes before any of us were born. This is what how they would clean them. Now, all over the world today, they still use this in a lot of places where they don't have washing machines. And so I want you to get that idea out of your head. The idea, we just toss it in the washing machine. Because this is what I picture when I think about when it says to purge or to scrub. I saw that word scrub. Because in my mind, this is what I picture that God is doing. God's like, I'm going to take you. And if you're humble and you say, Lord, I'm going to give this dirty part of my life. Lord, I'm going to submit. I'm going to humble myself. And give you this part of my life. And God's like, that's great. I'm going to take you now through this process of scrubbing. And if it's that attitude, you know what he's going to do? You know what this is? This isn't a pleasant process. Come on, somebody. If it's that attitude you have towards somebody, you know what he's going to do? He's going to put you right next to that person you can't stand. Come on, somebody. He's going to put you. I'm dipping you in and I'm scrubbing you clean. Come on, somebody. And you're like, Lord, would you just change them? And God's like, nope, I'm scrubbing it out of you. God's like, I'm gonna say, you're like, Lord, I deal with impatience. And God's like, great, I'm gonna put you on airline highway at 5:15. Come on, somebody, I'm just gonna put you. I spent all week trying to figure out a road for that joke. I was like, what road am I gonna pick? Thursday night, 5:15, God had me on airline. I was like, praise you, Lord, you have done it again. You have given me. You're like, Lord, this is the miracle I signed up for. God's like, great, this is my process. I'm going to put you in that small group. You're like, God, I don't like any of those people, and they don't tell me what I want to hear. And God's like, great. That's how I designed it. I'm going to put you in those places. It's like, I'm scrubbing it. And then suddenly you get it. Suddenly you're like, oh, it's clean. Oh, God scrubbed it out. It's amazing. It's a miracle. God did it. And I'm going to tell people all about it. God's like, wait. You got a little bit more. You got to live it. And you're like, God, why won't you just do the miracle and fix it? And God's like, I will fix it. This is how I fix it. I'm going to scrub that thing out of you. I'm going to get that thing out of you. I'm going to put you, it's that early morning devotion that you got to get up just a little bit earlier to be in. And you're like, that's not what I signed up for, God. And God's like, that's the process. You're going to spend time in my presence. It's that small group I put you in. And you're like, God, but they won't let me off the hook. They hold me accountable and they walk through these things in life with me. And God's like, that's exactly what I want to happen. That's the miracle in your life, that I'm going to begin to scrub those things out of your life. I'm going to begin to walk those things out with you. I'm going to scrub them. I'm going to purify them. Again, eventually, it's clean. And you know what? You know what happens when you get the towel completely clean? You know what that means? Then you're in heaven. That's when the towel's clean. And so until that moment, you just embrace the process of God getting you clean, of God sanctifying those things out of your life. Until that moment, until you're there, God continues that process in our life. Can I hear a better amen in church today? That fact that we've got. All right, let's close it out like this. You ready? The Bible says it like this. He says, don't tell anybody. He does the miracle. He tells his Jesus joke of don't tell anybody. But go. Watch where he sends him. I love this. But go and see the priests. Like, go and see them. Watch this. And offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing. Like, you're already cleansed. And go just still do this in front of the priest. Still offer those sacrifices. I've already watched this for your cleansing as a testimony to them. Like, Jesus already had a target for this guy in his testimony. Like, he was doing the miracle, and in his mind, he already knows where he's about to send this guy as a testimony. Don't tell everybody. Everybody else will figure it out anyways. I want you to go as a testimony to those priests standing in the temple. I want you to offer that thing and show them what's happened in your life. Jesus has a place for this guy, which, by the way, this is what evangelism is. Your testimony is not you being like, I've got my entire life together. Everything is perfect. No, your testimony is saying, he who began a work in me is going to be faithful to complete it. That God did something in my life and he's going to keep that. Like, I'm not everywhere I should be, but praise God, I'm not where I used to be. He's scrubbing some things out of my life. Because too many times people try to discount testimonies. Well, look, you still got that issue. I'm like, yeah, I'm still being scrubbed. God still got to scrub some things out of my life. I say things sometimes, I do things sometimes. I'm like, well, God's still working on me. Come on, somebody. But that doesn't discount my testimony, what God's already done. You begin to give your testimony, start in life. I'm working that stuff out because listen to me, your testimony matters. Watch this in Revelation chapter 12. It says, they triumphed over him by the blood of the enemy in this world. They triumphed over by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Amen. And so it's the blood of the Lamb. It's what Jesus did on the cross. It's God's grace, and then it's the testimony of what God did in our lives. You begin to say, what they said mattered. Their declaration, it mattered. I'm telling you, you want to conquer the enemy today. You want to live in freedom. You want to see a breakthrough in the world today. I'm telling you, it's the two. It's the blood of the Lamb, what God has done, what Jesus did on the cross, the word of the testimony. Tell him what he's done in my life. That's how you conquer the enemy. Here's what I've realized about testimonies, and that is that testimonies create testimonies. Like, they produce them. It's an incredible thing. Like telling your testimony leads to more. You tell what God has done in your life. What you say matters. You're like, well, people don't want to hear about it. Listen to me. You giving your testimony builds the faith of others to believe that God can do it in their life as well. You sharing, you're like, well, nobody wants to hear that. Nobody wants to hear that. No. You sharing your testimony then begins to build others' faith that God can do the same thing in their life. Listen, when we celebrate what God has done in our life, because this guy can't keep quiet. And honestly, let me just give you something. This is my own personal opinion. You can throw it out if you want to. But this guy goes rejoicing and he's been healed. And watch what happens 12 chapters later. Like later in Jesus, like a few months down the road, Jesus is ministering and healing. It's just my opinion. But 12 chapters, Jesus is doing ministry in another town and 10 lepers show up. So we went from 1 to 10 in just like a few weeks of ministry. 10 lepers show. Can I tell you why? I think it's because those 10 lepers heard the news. Hey, he cleaned that guy and he can cleanse us. Hey, he was enough to clean those guys. But then the Bible says it like this, yet the news of him spread all the more. So the crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sickness. The same Jesus that cleansed that leper. The same Jesus that cleansed that woman last week. The same Jesus that changed my life. The same Jesus that healed all 10 of those lepers. The same Jesus is the Jesus that can change your life. That can cleanse you. Because listen, he's saying, I'm not interested in making you comfortable. I'm interested in making you clean. And so listen to me. If you're interested in just getting comfortable in this life, this is not the message for you. But if you're interested in getting clean, God is looking at you. He says, listen, I'm the answer. Same Jesus that cleansed the leper is the same Jesus that can change your life. Bow your heads with me as we pray today. I want to pray in two parts today because number one, I just want a response of those of us here. You're a believer, but you've got some things in your life. Either you haven't submitted them to God or you haven't submitted them to His process for your life. There's no humility over this. I just want to ask you right now, if you're just honest before the Holy Spirit, you've got some issues, you've got some areas, what are those? The Bible says if we confess them, if we humble ourselves. In my mind, I see this image of this leper, face to the ground, just begging Jesus, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Listen, Jesus is willing. Do you want to be clean? Whatever that issue is, whatever you think is so hidden, whatever you think is still invisible, listen, it can only stay hidden for a season. In this moment, you have a chance. Deal with it while it's internal. Humble yourself in this moment. Just ask the Holy Spirit, where are some areas of my life? And listen, He'll highlight them for you. Not because He wants to humiliate you. Not because He's trying to like get even with you. None of that. No, He wants to make you clean. He's not interested in your comfort. He's not interested in your entertainment. He wants to make you clean. And so you got a choice to make. Like this guy, he hears about Jesus and he has a choice to make. You've been here a few weeks and you've heard about Jesus. You have a choice to make. We're going to humble ourselves. I don't know what He's going to highlight. Maybe He highlights the way you spoke to your spouse. Or that unforgiveness you have for a family member. Or the way that you treat other people. Or maybe it's the way you're running your business. The way you spend your money. Whatever it is. Would you humble yourself right now? God wants to make you clean. Lord, we pray You would cleanse us. God, I thank You. You're willing to make us clean. Lord, we don't take that lightly, that You're still willing to cleanse us. You're still willing to do it. And so, God, we just offer ourselves. Right now, make it personal, church. Say, God, I offer myself. I lift it before You. Work this thing out of my life. Lord, I need You. That sin that I think is hidden, that sin that nobody else would ever find, God, I submit myself. I humble myself right now. Lord, I need You. Now, there's one other group that's with us today, and maybe you've never taken the first step. Like, you've heard all these things about Jesus, and you've heard the first steps of humility and of surrendering to Christ, but you've never actually done it. I just want to offer that to you today. You're like this guy, and you heard about Jesus. You heard about what Jesus can do in your life, and you're like Him right now, and you don't know. Listen to me. You run to Jesus. You don't try to clean yourself up. You don't try to heal yourself of the leprosy and then say, I'll go see Him. No, you come before Him exactly as you are. And listen to me, He accepts you and He loves you and He brings you in. And listen to me, He cleanses you. You say, but I got too much baggage. I got too much stuff that I'm dragging behind. Run to Him as fast as He understands what you're carrying and He wants to cleanse you anyway. He loves you. He wants you. This man that nobody would touch, that they would run the other way. Jesus doesn't just like call to him from across the room. Jesus isn't like, that's great, I'm glad you came, but we're going to get you healed before I ever come near to you. No, Jesus stretches out His hand and He touches him. I don't care whoever said something, didn't want you, insulted you, left you, didn't care about you. I don't care about those people. What I want you to understand today, God loves you and God wants you. That Jesus is willing. You're like, no one else was willing to touch me. No one else was willing to walk this through. No one else was willing to do that. It says, Jesus is willing. Do you want to be clean? So right now, that's you. If you want to be saved, you want to be cleansed. You want to be humble before God and say, I know I'm not strong enough, but I know the one who the answer is. If you want that in your life, I want to pray with you in this moment. I'm not going to make you stand or come to the front. Listen to me, we're having baptisms in a couple of weeks. Would love to make that declaration to the church, but right now you need to decide. Right now you need to make a decision. Are you going to follow Jesus? Do you want to be clean? If you do, I would just encourage you, pray with us today. All of our church, we pray this. Nobody prays alone. But you got to decide. You got to make a decision right now if you're going to pray with us. Say these words. Say, Jesus, forgive me of all of my sin, all my mistakes. I repent. Cleanse me. I believe You died on the cross. And I believe You rose again. And I make You the Lord of my life. in Jesus' name. And all God's church said amen and amen.